The views you are about to hear are the personal views of Kira Lawrence and her guests. They are not necessarily views that are shared by the organisations to which Kira is associated.
You're listening to Kira's Pink Sparkle Pod.
Kira's Pink Sparkle Pod.
So, hi everybody. Welcome to the next episode of Kira's Pink Sparkle Pod. Welcome, Penny Mordaunt, MP, Leader of the House of Commons, and Lord President of the Privy Council, Penny Mordaunt. Welcome to Kira's Pink Sparkle Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
So I wanted to ask you, of course, all about the coronation ceremony. What was that like?
It was a huge privilege to be part of it. And I was so proud of everyone on the day. All of our armed forces who did such an amazing parade. And I represent Portsmouth, which is particularly known for the Royal Navy. So that was wonderful to see. But also just everyone else who worked so hard to make it so special, including all of those people that were working behind the scenes that weren't part of the parade, police officers, our emergency services, everyone to sort of keep everyone safe and just make it a wonderful day. Did you watch it?
I did, of course, and I was very proud of you. I was watching with pride, and I was like, I know Penny, and she's doing really well carrying that sword. So what was the sword like to carry? You did really well when I was watching it.
Well, I had two swords. So the first one was very, very heavy, and that's called the Sword of State. And that is representative of the king's authority. So as one of his ministers, I was carrying that for him to symbolize his authority as king. And it was a bit tricky because it was a bit heavy. But halfway through the service, I got to trade it in for a much lighter sword, which is very beautiful. It's called the Sword of Offering, and it's part of the king's regalia. So the part of the things that we give him to symbolize that he is our king. And so I had the privilege of handing that to him when he was on the coronation chair. And it's very beautiful. It's part of the crown jewels. And it's got over 2,000 diamonds on it. So it was much, but I was more nervous holding that than the big sword.
Did you do any training before the day? Did you rehearse carrying it? Did you do any kind of training? What did you do beforehand?
There were lots of rehearsals. So I was rehearsing, and obviously other people were rehearsing. We had lots of practice parades for members of the armed forces. I didn't do any special training to get my arms to be strong enough, but I used to be in the Royal Navy Reserve. And so we used to practice a lot, marching up and down, standing for long periods of time. And so I was drawing on all of that training to help me through the day.
Did you get to see the moment that King Charles got anointed, or didn't you get to see that?
No. So that is kept very, very private, because as well as the big, wonderful procession and all of the pageantry that goes on, it's also a very sacred and spiritual service. And that moment was very, very private. So you'll notice when the soldiers carried those screens in, they then, as soon as they were in their place, they averted their eyes so they couldn't see what was going on. So that was very, very private. And I think at that point, I also looked down to make sure I didn't get a peep.
It was all very secret. It was very well done. Like, everybody played their part so well. And the whole ceremony was beautiful, from the music to the choirs to everybody on the roll on the day. It went off without a hitch. It seemed like a wonderful thing to be watching, a moment in history. How did you feel after? Did you feel proud afterwards?
I felt very proud. And one of the lovely things was when I was walking into the Abbey in that big procession, all of the people who'd been invited to be there, because if you look at pictures of coronations that happened in 1953, the last coronation we have, but also before then, it's just a sea of people in red robes from the House of Lords. And this coronation was very different. Mm. So there were lots of people there who'd done lovely things for our country. And the whole theme was about service. Yeah. And it was about people who had worked for charities and organizations, or who'd done very brave things and made sacrifices for our country. But it was also about the king's service as well. And so for me, that was one of the loveliest parts of it, that it was a modern coronation to talk about the kind of country we are now.
Fantastic. And I wanted to ask, what is King Charles like as a person? Have you been able to get to know him a little bit? What's he really like?
He's really, really lovely. I knew him a little bit before I got this job, because I used to be Secretary of State for International Development. Yeah. And we'd done quite a lot of work together, especially when there'd been horrible things happen in parts of the world, like hurricanes and things like that. Some of our overseas territories were badly affected. So we'd worked together quite a bit on that. But people know he's a very caring person. He really appreciated all of the efforts everyone made for his coronation. And I think he's going to be a very great king indeed. And he cares very deeply about all sorts of issues that the British public care about. And I know he's going to provide that continuity and that figurehead that we know is so valuable to our country.
During the ceremony, was there one standout moment that you thought, wow, I'm going to remember being there forever? Was there like a special moment that you thought, wow, I can remember this forever during the ceremony? Was there a point where you thought, wow, this is real history, I'm part of this? Was there like a standout moment during it for you at all?
Oh, there were lots of moments. I think the most important and loveliest, though, was the king throughout the whole ceremony and service, because it was quite a complicated ceremony. There were lots of things going on. Even up the other end of the Abbey, there were soldiers marching up and down all the way through the service. Mm. And it was very complicated. And I wanted the king not to worry about any of that or to be focused on that. I just wanted him to be able to be quiet and still and be in the moment of this very special thing that was happening for him. And he was able to do that. So he was really calm throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And he calmed us all down because of it. But there were other really special moments that I was very excited about. So the first time we practiced with the real crown jewels.
Wow.
And I that my sword was a lot heavier than the one that I'd been with. But they are very, very beautiful. Yeah. And that was very special. Everyone who was honored to carry a piece of the crown jewels into the Abbey was very excited when they got the real thing, because they are incredible. And I'd encourage everyone to go and have a look at them in the Tower of London if you've not done that, because they're lovely things to see.
That is now going on my list then. I will be going to the Tower. I'm going to make sure I have a day off and go and look. So I haven't been for years. So that's now back on my list.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's very nice. And everyone has been very kind. And I was just very proud to do it and happy that people were happy that I was doing it. So thank you so much.
So I wanted to ask you, through meeting people with a learning disability like me, what have you personally learnt about learning disability
So I've learned a lot, and I think that the work you do and MenCap and other organisations is really, really important. I know you recently gave evidence to a select committee in Parliament, and you're a frequent flyer in here, and it's really important for members of Parliament to hear from everyone in our country about the sorts of things you want us to be doing and how you want us to improve things and make things better. So I think that is really important, that as an MP, you've got to listen to everyone and do your best for everyone. But I think the thing that I learned most when I was Minister for Disabilities was how much people with a learning disability contribute to society and to organisations. One of my favourite examples was Waitrose, the supermarket.
Okay.
And they had employed people with a learning disability in jobs in their shops. And they noticed one day that the shoppers were queuing at tills that were being staffed by people with a learning disability, even though there was an empty checkout a bit further away. And so they asked customers why they were doing that. And they said, well, this person remembered me from last week and they knew my cat was ill because we were buying cat food. Actually, I like the fact that people engage with me, talk to me. Yeah. And so there are all sorts of things that that people discover when they work with people with a learning disability, or they give them a chance to gain employment in their organization, that brings extra value. And I think that's really, really important. And I didn't really appreciate how much that was the case until I got that job.
Would you like in the future to see more people with a learning disability more involved within politics? Would you like to see more MPs who have a learning disability? What's your view on that?
Yes, I think so. There are lots of MPs already who have a disability in some way or another. I have dyslexia, for example, and I think people are becoming more aware and also that it's important to say that you have a disability of some kind. I didn't know I had dyslexia until very late on. I'm 50 now, but I was 48 when I was diagnosed. And it was a really important thing for me to learn about myself. Mm-hmm. And want to enable people to be as involved as they possibly can be in politics and in public life, because there are lots of other things that you can do to contribute and to help make good positive change in the world, as well as being a member of Parliament. And it's very important that when we're thinking about House of Commons or people running for local government or other ways we want to people to step up and represent people, that we're thinking about the support we can put in place for those people as well. But you're a great example of what you can do as a campaigner. Yeah. And you've made a big difference on things like women's health.
Yes.
And making people are going for their screening. And it's just really important to make sure that voices like yours are heard, that have a platform, and that you're able to achieve the things that are important to you and the communities you represent.
Definitely.
Well, it's really important that you do that, because it's very inspirational to other people. And this is why I think that as a woman as well, being seen to be doing these things is really important to encourage other people. I think there are lots of people, whether they have a learning disability or another disability or whether they don't, who are really passionate about things, but who are perhaps not confident to go and do the things that they would really love to do. And I'm a great believer that if you are really passionate about something, or you want to go and do something, whether it is the things that we've been talking about politics, or whether it is working in a particular industry or going and doing something that you're really passionate about, chances are if you feel that way about something, you are going to be good at it. Yeah. And if you prepare well and you let other people help you and support you, you can go and do those things. And so I think it's very important that powerful women with teal headbands,
yes,
are in these places, and yes, we can put up a signal to other people who want to go and do similar things that they can do it too.
Fab. And talking of achievements, that leads me on very nicely to my last question for you. Is there anything else in your career that you would like to achieve?
Oh, gosh, lots of things. I think we all have lots of lists of things that we would like to achieve. And on my list, mm-hmm, there are some big things nationally that I would like to do. I think one of the things, and I know that the Department of Health is also focused on this, is people who have a learning disability or a behavioral disability, and making sure that those people have the best care settings possible. And quite a lot of people are not in the right kind of care that they ought to be enjoying. And so that is something nationally that I want to do. And I know MenCap is very focused on that as well. But there are lots of things that I want to get done for my constituency as well. So at the moment, we are refurbishing the Lido that I jumped off the diving board in Splash to save. And we're currently rebuilding that and making it look spectacular. And that's something that I'm looking forward to making sure that we do well and hopefully get some diving boards back up for my constituents to enjoy. So I've got a big long list, and those are a couple of things that are on it.
Brilliant. Oh, well, thank you very much for your time today, Penny. I've really enjoyed chatting with you, and thank you for your time. I know you're a really busy lady, and so I really appreciate you taking time to do this with me today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, and thanks for everything you're doing.
Thank you, Penny. Hope to see you again soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It was all put together by James Fullis from Is That Friday Feeling on Surrey Hills Community Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't already, check out Kira's podcast on the beginning of this month. She interviews Kelly Shirley, which is out right now. If you haven't already, check out me and Mark's show every single Friday on Surrey Hills Community Radio called Is That Friday Feeling from 3 till 5. Check out our show. Tell your friends. See you soon.